What do you want your business to be? What do you want your hours to be? What do you want your ideal client to be? And I say, what do you want your lifestyle to be? Do you want to run a lifestyle business that helps you live the American dream? Or do you want to run a lifestyle business that helps you live the lifestyle you really want? And if that's true, here's an opportunity.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Business of Freelancing podcast, where we help you get better clients, make more money, and live a happier and a healthier life freelancing. I'm your host, Brendan Dunn, and today I've got a great interview to share with you from probably one of the most interesting guests I've had on the show. His name is Paul Kortman, and he travels North America in an RV with his wife and kids and works from the road, literally. We talked a lot about kind of what it's like to run a location independent nomadic freelancing business. But before we get there, I do want to just give a quick shout out to our latest review. Just cracked 40 ratings on iTunes. And this review really, I literally read it right before hitting record. So I'm still have the high of what it said. But this is from Chris Obbs 13. And he said, "This is hands down the best podcast about running a consultancy business that I have found. There's no annoying banter, lengthy intros, or other filler, just valuable and actionable advice. If you're a freelancer or run a small agency, I highly recommend that you listen to this podcast. It's worth every second." So Chris, I just want to thank you. And based on your input, I'm gonna shorten this intro and jump right into the interview with Paul. But if you haven't left a review though, I would ask you, just go to iTunes, type in my name, Brendan Dunn, and I'm really pushing to get more exposure to the podcast, especially now that we've got a huge backlog of episodes that I can't wait to share with you. All right, so enjoy the interview. Hey, I want to welcome you, or I want to introduce you guys rather to Paul Kortman. Paul is, the best way to describe you, and I'll let you talk about yourself in a second, is you're currently a nomad who runs a digital marketing consultancy. Is that you in a nutshell?
Yep.
Cool. Paul, so first off, welcome to the business of freelancing.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So what, before we jump into your nomadic existence, let's talk quickly about your history. What's your background?
Sure enough. Yep. I spent 12 years as an IT nerd. I refer to myself as a certified nerd, and then was working for a marketing agency, a traditional marketing agency, and was telling the web developers that they were selling $80,000 websites, and they said they were SEO, and I was like, no, that's not right. You're not doing that right. And so they said, fine, you've got a big mouth. Go figure it out yourself. And so based on that, the system administrator started doing SEO. Long story short, I built a digital marketing department within the agency. I hired four people and then realized one day, hey, I could do this myself. Stepped out on my own, had success from day one. So we can talk for days on that. But it was about having a network. During the years of when I was building the department within the agency, I would go out and speak and engage and do all the meetings so that clients would come to the agency. But really what I ended up doing was building my personal network in the city where I lived, so that when I hung out my shingle and said, hey, I'm doing the same thing, just doing it on my own, under my own business, essentially people flocked to me.
Yeah, you already had a kind of an audience, I guess. So, okay, so you started locally, though. I mean, and I think that's a big thing we'll want to talk about later, because now it doesn't sound like you have a home city anymore.
Well, we always have that place where we used to be from, right?
Uh-huh, right.
And so what happened was my wife and I, we homeschool our kids out of a philosophical decision. I started working from home, and we lived an hour outside of the major city. So we live in the woods, this nice, 40-acre farm. We own an acre next to it. You know, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I work in the basement. My wife homeschools the kids, all is well. And then one day we just said, this sucks. This is not the life we want. And I'd been following the Tropical MBA and Dan and Ian and you know, all these backpackers and kind of just got disillusioned with the American or the Western dream and just said, you know, I want to travel. And my wife and I had traveled before having kids internationally, you know, spent years living elsewhere and settled down and had kids and tried the American dream for 7 years and then just got fed up with it. So we said, hey, we are location independent except for our house. We teach our kids here. I work from here. I meet with clients once in a great while. And at that time, you know, my business was 4 years into it, and I had majority of my clients were out of state, and half of them I had never met. And so I was just like, I'm working from the woods in Michigan. Why can't I work from the beach in Bali and do the same thing? And that was the, I don't know, the question that brought down the foundation, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mention all that because I've thought a lot about this just because I love traveling. I love just going new places. And I'll talk a bit about some of the issues I've had, you know, getting work done on the road. But I've always had this idea of being nomadic. I guess that's the right way to put it nowadays. And but like you, I've listened to a lot of the, you know, kind of the celebrity nomads, and they all seem to be, you know, young single guys. I've had a hard time reconciling that with, well, I've got my kids in school. I mean, yeah, their homeschooling is a great way to kind of, I mean, it's funny. School is really the only thing currently, and the house
holding you back
that holds us back. Yeah. I mean, it's the only time that like we tend to travel in the summer because the kids are out of school, like everyone else. But, you know, I think school traditionally works really well for parents who have kind of a set working schedule, which I kind of do, but I don't exactly. But yeah, you know, like you, I currently work from home. We're in the suburbs. I'm a homebody in a way, so I don't really mind it as much. But yeah, I've been fascinated with this idea of just being able to do that. And I've done hints of that. Like we'll go down to Florida where my family is for a month at a time, and you know, I'm there working at coffee shops or finding a co-working space or something, but I haven't done anything like you've done.
Let me challenge you. I mean, I've met hundreds of people in your very similar shoes of where technically you have a location independent business, but you have a family. And it's like, well, my job in life is not to convince you to change your dreams or your lifestyle. My job in my life right now is to say essentially, if you want to pursue that, it can be done, and I can show you how. And we fell into this because we decided, hey, let's go do this, and we found a void of people doing it as a family. We found a little pocket of people who live in an RV in the U.S., and I'm just like, yeah, okay, that's fine, but that's just traveling around in an RV, which, by the way, we're doing next, but it wasn't international. And it wasn't Southeast Asia, and it wasn't living off of cheap and all this. And so I just got disillusioned with that. I didn't find any families who were doing it and doing it permanently. Found a couple, you know, here and there, individual families, but no like movement of it. And after we did our initial foray, we spent 7 months traveling. We ended up doing a round the world trip in 7 months. We got back to the States for business reasons, because I had lost all of my inbound clients, and we can talk about that. But basically, the money evaporated, and we came back to the States to rebuild the business, which has been rebuilt in less than 6 months. And now we're heading back out, this time in an RV, driving south, Mexico, Ecuador, and Central America. So what we realized when we came back to the States was there are a lot of people who want to do this, but they don't feel equipped to do it as a family. There's a lot of holdbacks, and I'm currently finishing a guide to a framework for how to do this, how to take your family and your mortgage and your insurance and your what do I do about this and fears, and how to set that all up so that within a year you can be location independent. And so like based on what you were just saying, you spend a month in Florida, you travel in the summer. I would challenge you to view travel as slow travel personally. And what if you said, we're going to spend a year with my kids in this school in England or in this school in Thailand, and you go live there for a year. And it's not, you haven't fully committed to the location independent lifestyle, but you've said, let's dip our toe in the water and see what we find out. We still have our house, we still can move back, you know, and all that, but we're taking a set time period to go test the waters. And we've challenged three families to do that, and they have come back with glowing reports of, my goodness, how easy that was and how awesome that was. And they kind of have gotten addicted to the lifestyle.
So I want to talk to you about kind of maintaining a client services business in a second, but before we get there, do you mind if I just list off a few objections that I've had toward,
sure,
toward this? And kind of, I'd love to hear what other objections you've also heard, maybe the ones you've had yourself. And then I'd love to just hear your counters to them, right? So
awesome.
Here's the issues I've had. So one of the guys in my mastermind group, he's been traveling the country in an RV for the last year. And we meet every other week at a certain time. And it's, you know, he's always like struggling to find cell service so he can join the call. And, you know, it's all this, like, it seems like every other week there is something that's like, it's, you know, finding reliability, I guess, has been something that I've noticed, at least, he's struggled with. Now, granted, he's not doing that kind of slow travel thing you meant. He's staying at a place for a week or two and then moving on. Living out of an RV, which is kind of his office and his living space, along with his wife and his kids, is kind of all in this, like, what, 150 square foot or whatever it is,
yep.
You know, zone. And I don't know, I guess my issue's always been, and this is probably why I don't get a lot of work done when traveling, is, fine, you know, at home I've got good internet, I've got a place that's mine where I can just focus and work, and I'm used to that, and I'm comforted by that. And anytime I've been on the road, it's always, you know, I'm putting up with crappy internet somewhere or whatever, you know, like, case in point, this podcast recording, you know, I would need to basically wander around with my mic and all that stuff and try to find a place that both has the bandwidth and the atmospheric silence to kind of pull that. You know what I mean? Like, I guess this
totally.
That was the big thing for me.
So, two things. Slow travel fixes some of this. Well, let me put it this way. My wife and I, it takes us an hour to settle into a place, and then we're good. You know, we're quote unquote unpacked, we're ready to go. But it can take up to a week for me to figure out where I can get the best work done, where the internet is solid and stable, where the atmospheric conditions are appropriate for recording or having phone calls with clients in my case, and you know, transportation from here to that place. So slow travel fixes this, because if you envision yourself in a place for a month to 3 months, 1 week of interruption isn't that significant once you have everything squared away. So what I did to solve this is coordinated my weekly meetings with clients, and I said, listen, next week I'm not going to be available, we're just going to take that week off, or I would move them to like the Friday of the week before or the Monday of the week after, whatever, just so that I could make sure that I gave myself 5 or 6 days to have my internet locked and solid in place, because that is, there's no way around it, that is a huge problem.
So you kind of like batch your work then, right? It's like, I know I will be in this co-working space, which has good internet between Monday and Wednesday. And that's when I'm going to have all my meetings, and anything that requires reliable internet will happen then, instead of trying to just make it ongoing.
Yep. I tried it the other way at first. And I don't learn by reading. I learn by screwing up. And so I tried it just like, oh yeah, you know, this Airbnb says they have internet. They sent me a screenshot of their speed test. Looks good. I'm golden. So we'll fly there, set up shop, and I'll, you know, have a conversation over the internet. Well, it was a MiFi device, and that screenshot was at midnight, and during the day, it just sucks. And, you know, I couldn't even pull down a meg. And so it was like, I couldn't have a Skype call, and I learned by running into those problems that you can't be guaranteed. You have to go there. You have to push it. And by the way, good internet for me is not good internet for somebody else.
Yeah. I was going to say, the last Airbnb I went to that claimed internet, we went there. There was a 56K modem and credentials for an AOL account. Literally, wow. An AOL username and password.
Holy
and God. A modem. And I'm like, you got to be. anyway. So.
And I'm a hog, right? So we spent a lot of time in South Africa, and they don't use that much data. They don't use the cloud. And so they're like, yeah, we have good internet. What's wrong with our internet here? And it's controlled by a monopoly, so it's 4 megs max, up or down, anywhere you go. And so it's really annoying, but they charge per byte, per meg. And so I was sitting there going, even on a landline, I'm pulling down, and I've now clocked it that our family, with our 10 devices, we pull down probably 200 gigs in a month. And, you know, like people over there were choking on that. I said that I used up 50 gigs in one afternoon, and they were like, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, I got Dropbox, I got Google Drive, and I got another backup solution, and they all go to the cloud. And so the concept of this, it just doesn't work in other cultures. It, you know, we are spoiled in Western culture in the sense that we have the bandwidth and the unlimited data. So
I guess you just need to you need to kind of set internal expectations with yourself about where you'll be and have, you know, having a realistic. I think the issue that, you know, the guy in my mastermind is trying to always work wherever he is, whether he's barreling down the highway and his wife is driving the RV or, wow. You know, or there's some, you know, I think if it was more like, you know, I'm going to be in this town for 2 weeks and I'm going to dedicate, you know, I want to explore the town. I want to be with my family, obviously, but I'm going to work full time between these days. And that's when I'm going to, I guess it's a little trickier with like a bi-weekly mastermind where it's kind of like come hell or high water on Thursday at 1 p.m. we meet.
Yeah.
Which is a little trickier, I think.
What we've done in our family, because we're in an RV now as well, but like I said, we're heading international, so it's a bit different. And what we've set it up is that we drive 1 day a week. So on Saturdays, that's our driving day, and we only get as far as we can go on that day, which really is a one tank of gas, and then we set up camp, and that's where we're going to live for the next 7 or more days. And then we've also set up, like, I know I have phone calls on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so because we set up on Saturday, that gives me a couple of days, including a Monday, to make sure that I've got my internet, things are solid, I've got a private space, that on Tuesday I can have these calls. And I want to challenge full time. You're the guy all about doubling your freelancing rate. I'm the guy all about doubling your rate and cutting your hours.
Like you say, if you double your rate and cut your hours in half, you have the exact same standard of living as before.
Exactly. And you know, just to put this out there for everybody to realize, we traveled on a 60,000 personal budget. Like that, you know, annual, that's what we bring in. This isn't for rich, you know, millionaires. This is doable in today's day and age with 4 kids, and I had to buy 6 tickets everywhere we'd fly. That we traveled around the world and lived off of a $60,000 budget. And I work 20 hours a week. And so that affords me a whole lot more time to spend time with the kids, spend time, researching travel, because there are many other things that come up when you're traveling, especially when you're traveling as a group, of like logistics and getting to places and housing is more difficult and all this. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that because of that, I cannot work as much as the person who sits in one place and has the same, you know, 3 monitor setup every time they start working. I do have more time spent in non-business generating initiatives, but it is a decision. It's a trade-off of where I list pros and cons. And I say, okay, if I'm traveling like this, I get the benefit of this, this, and this. Now, the negative is I have to spend some more time researching. I have to spend less time working. Therefore, I make, quote, less money. But if I have it set up correctly, which in theory I do, whether I work or not, I'm still making the same amount of money. And that's the key, is if you can get into that scenario where you have employees who are working. And by the way, all of my employees are location independent and three of them travel frequently. So our staff meetings have that goofiness of like, okay, who's going to be on the call tomorrow? Noah, you're going to be in the air at 30,000 feet. Okay. You won't be there. We get it. But we basically give each other a day or two internally to set up once we get to a location. And with clients, I make sure I give myself a week to set up before before going, you know, having calls and committing to things. So, yeah.
You know, before we jump into the logistics of working with clients, objection number two would be, you know, I live in a big Navy town, and a lot of the kids here, military families, they're always moving. They don't really have like strong friendships because they don't have enough time to really meet other kids. Has that been an issue too? Or, I mean, what kind of are the friendships your kids have, are they mainly with their siblings, or, you know, do they meet kids when you're at a different place too?
They meet kids, and they have, now just to give the ages of my kids, my oldest is 9, my youngest is 1. So okay. we're a young family.
Got a 1-year-old in an RV. God bless you.
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. He was 1 when we left. He's
okay.
3 now.
Okay.
9 to
Got
3.
Got it. Got it.
Wow. I totally goofed that up. But they grow, believe it or not. They make friends really quickly. The way we've been blessed with the kids that we have, they're able to make friends quickly. And there is a bit of mourning. There is a bit of longing for friends that they don't get to spend time with back home or in another culture. Ta and Mimi are two of their friends in Bangkok that they also don't have the concept of flight and distance and time. And they're just like, can we go see Ta and Mimi tomorrow? And well, technically we could, but you'd have to make a couple of $10,000, you know, in order for us to go do that. So the world is much smaller to them. And we look at the pros of, I grew up in a Midwestern U.S. town that I had, quote, long-term friends. I don't talk to any of them now.
You're right. Yeah.
And the skills that I have are being able to walk into a room and make friends and have a good time and catch up with those people in 3 months when I bump into them at the next networking event. That is a skill that's more maintainable. And I look at my kids and I say, I'm forcing them into that skill, or our lifestyle choices are forcing them into that skill. And I believe that's better long-term for them.
Yeah, I guess you get a lot of opportunities to meet new people. You get a lot of practice doing that, right?
Yep. I also know third culture kids. And if you don't know what that is, we can get into it in another podcast. But third culture kids are basically military brats, missionary kids, and other business and dignitary kids who spend time not in their home culture. They were raised in a separate culture. They don't connect with their home culture. They don't connect with the separate culture. They've created a third culture identity that is a mishmash of both of their cultures. So those kids are so well-rounded. I know a bunch of them who have, you know, who are adults and married. I've watched them grow up, and I'm just like, those kids are so well-rounded. I hope for my kids' sake that they become like those. And so it's a conscious decision for us to do this, that our kids will receive benefits. It's a messed up philosophy to say, well, these kids need long-term friendships. Are you kidding? Have you been to middle school lately? There are no long-term friendships.
It's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I guess I still have it. You know, part of me is very attached to this kind of like small town tight friendships sort of, but you're absolutely right. I know a lot of these third culture grownups now who, one of them was an ambassador's kid, and I think they grew up more around adults also. Not just kids, but, you know, it was more like the children were a part of the, it wasn't like kids are being dumped at the local karate summer camp while, you know, mom and dad do their thing all summer. Like there's a lot of overlap, which I think has benefited them, like you've just mentioned, in a lot of different ways. So yeah, I can definitely see, I'm definitely, Kool-Aid-wise, definitely drinking some right now.
Awesome.
So let's talk logistically about running. You know, this is the business of freelancing. So we want to talk about running a consulting business on the road. You mentioned earlier that your immediate, you started out, your business started as a result of local connections that you had. And then it sounded like the business kind of fizzled out a few years back. And you had to go back and kind of set up shop locally to rebuild that. What's your strategy so you don't end up doing that again?
It's a hope and a prayer. No, okay. I'm kidding. What I've learned about referral marketing, because that's essentially what I operate on. Uh-huh. I'm a digital marketing agency that doesn't rely on digital marketing for new clients. It's backwards, but for some reason in the digital marketing space, people don't trust it as well as they trust the referral.
Yeah, so anyone can go and list up keywords about SEO and all. Yeah.
Yep. So what I've done is just continue to build and expand my network. So when people are like, I need SEO. Do you know of anybody? Oh, Paul, he's the guy you got to talk to. So really what I found out is when I go to networking meetings, when I go hang out with people and have lunch and coffee with them, they're not the ones who are going to be my client. So most often, we're just chewing the fat and they're talking business. I'm talking, how their attorney business is growing and how, if I can be of help, not in a financial way, but just like, hey, here's some suggestions. Here's what we've been learning. Go do this. You'll be great. And just by giving that free advice in a one-on-one situation or in a networking event, it ends up, they have the warm, fuzzy feelings towards me, but they refer me to other people.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's the key is I don't meet with people to try and get business out of them. I meet with people to help them know that I'm that guy.
It's funny. That's my exact networking strategy. I always tell people I don't go to networking events to meet clients. I'm there to meet future fans. Yeah. Future fans, right? Who will end up referring you to others.
And so majority of my clients aren't even in this community because this community has, connections elsewhere. And when they're like, oh, do you know of a person? Well, yeah, I know Paul. So my referrals are in a geographic space, but my clients aren't. And so what's happened is I learned that. I realized that out of sight, out of mind. And so when I left, my local competitor, he's a friend of me. We joke about this quite a bit because we're good friends. He never wanted to hire. And 3 months after I left, he had to hire because he just work kept pouring in on him. And when I got back, things kind of fizzled for him a little bit. And it's just because out of sight, out of mind, people stop referring to me. Even though these clients aren't in the state or in the region, they just, oh, Paul's gone traveling the world. Who knows what he's doing? So what I've found is I need to return back once a quarter and spend 2 weeks here kissing babies, shaking hands, and that way people are like, well, he's traveling but he's still here, that's amazing. Yep. And I become Superman. So
it's kind really of funny you mentioned. I mean, it sounds like our stories in terms of growing our companies are very similar in that I had a lot of local referral sources who got us international work, and it really worked well. And it was funny, I used to go, I mean, I would fly out to California to to Silicon Valley for a few days just to make the rounds, just to meet with past clients and kind of recultivate a lot of those past connections. And it sounds like that's your strategy, right?
That's my strategy now, is no matter where I am in the world, once a quarter, I'll return to this community to, with an asterisk there, I'll return to network. And if business is going on, okay, if the funnel has people in it or businesses in it, I will expand my network to different communities. I might pick up Detroit or Austin or Chicago or something, trying to pick up different communities so that I can, if you drop yourself in a community for 2 weeks with the sole purpose of networking and you research ahead of time, you can line up all kinds of meetings, can have all kinds of connections, and you leave there not having to write any proposals or with any new business, but knowing that you've got people who think positively about you and you've planted the seed, and that's all that I need to do. So that's the goal, is to now run my business that way of saying my sales funnel is referral marketing, and so it's an expense. I have to fly and meet with people, but it's different than running ads and landing pages. It's more genuine and real, and people trust the referral. So that's what I'm working on.
And I mean, a lead that comes your way via referral is automatically so much more valuable than somebody who clicked on a AdWords ad. I mean, it's night and day difference. So, so I would imagine too that, I mean, your clients are remote, different time zones. Have you found that a lot of your kind of project management has shifted to be more asynchronous, where you're not doing as many real-time meetings? It's more, you might say, you know, you might request something, and then, you know, a few days later is kind of when the, you know, the, there's a delay, I guess, between moments of communication. Like, has that increased, do you think?
I found the opposite.
So really? Okay.
When I was in Southeast Asia, my clients were all in the US. What I had to do is work the split shift, essentially 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. and then work again 8 p.m. to midnight or something. And so, like, I would sleep for a couple hours in the middle of the day and sleep for a couple hours at night. That way I got to spend a lot of time with the kids and I got to keep happy clients. What happens, because my employees are scattered around the world, when a client makes a request, it's quote unquote done the next day for them because we put it into the plan. And if it's an urgent one, we can boil it to the top and it'll be done, you know, 8 hours later. So a lot of what we found is the actual work that we do. So we're more than a consultancy. We actually do the work as well, depending on the client relationship. Those sorts of tasks got done much faster because we're scattered across the globe, the team is able to work in different time zones and get things done faster. As well as for me, if I didn't have calls, you know, here I am working, you know, during the US business hours, but then also during the day, like if it was just a chill out day or the kids are doing homeschool, I could work quote unquote at night for Eastern time zone and still get more stuff done. So I found myself being more efficient and our team delivering on our promises better. I found the most difficult was the phone calls. And that was, you know, they just were always at inopportune times. Like, we just had a really great day. I'm totally exhausted. I just want to, you know, sit here with my wife in the air conditioning and just relax. And nope, I've got 3 phone calls tonight and they're, you know, and she's going to go to bed and I'm going to stay up for another 2 hours, having these 3 phone calls. And that was just my life, but it was the trade-off. I'd rather have that, have happy customers or clients and being, you know, be living in the Philippines.
Right. Right. First off, do you think that this is for everyone, or at least is this something that everyone should try? And secondly, is this like, are you going to be doing this 10 years from now, do you think?
I can't see farther than a year in advance, maybe 2. Uh-huh. Will I be doing it 10 years from now? I think in some form or fashion, my wife and I have the travel bug and our kids do too, that I don't think we're going to be sedentary folks.
And it doesn't, I imagine it doesn't need to be all or nothing. I mean, you've at least reframed your perspective in such a way already that, you know, you could be 20 years from now living a third of the year in, you know, Dublin or whatever, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And will we ever own a house again? Maybe we might, is it going to be rental property or are we going to live in it? I don't know. We'll see. But guaranteed, this is not for everybody. This is for those who basically look across the fence and see greener pasture and say, if only I didn't have my wife and kids. And it's like, no. My philosophy is my life is made better by my wife and kids. I would be a miserable person if I didn't have her or them. They are challenging to me once in a while, but what isn't? It's more along the lines of, how can I get the best of both worlds? How can I have my cake and eat it too? And if you feel that way, if people listening feel that way, I guess I'm just saying it's possible. It's kind of like the Tim Ferriss, you know, back when Tim Ferriss wrote 4-Hour Workweek, you know, that tidal wave of location independent backpackers starting to happen, and he capitalized on it just as it's going. What I'm seeing is there's now a shift. Both those backpackers and location independent single folks are getting married or getting partners, we'll say, and are considering having kids, but they don't want to give up their lifestyle. And at the same time, all of us who are middle majority are like, oh wow, yeah, I already have a wife and kids, or I have a spouse and kids, and how do I do that? Did I miss my boat when I was a 20-something and should have, you know, gone traveling the world? If you want that, if you feel that way, if you're in that situation, I'm here to prove that it can happen. It is financially doable. There are multiple ways to make it happen, and there are hundreds of families doing it today. We've, you know, just by speaking up, by being loud about it, we've acquired lots of families who are doing this already. There's another podcast we were on last week that had, we were number 70, and they do a weekly podcast of different families who are traveling the world. And it's like, some of them do just a 1 year round the world trip. Oh, that was fun. Remember when we did that? Others of us are committed to it and as a way of life. And it just depends. I mean, it's about freedom, quote unquote. We live in the land of the free in the States. I could argue against that. It's more about saying, what do you want your life to be? You talk about this with your business. What do you want your business to be? What do you want your hours to be? What do you want your ideal client to be? And I say, what do you want your lifestyle to be? Do you want to run a lifestyle business that helps you live the American dream? Or do you want to run a lifestyle business that helps you live the lifestyle you really want? And if that's true, here's an opportunity.
That's a really good point. And you know, I talk to a lot of people, and this is myself circa, well, I don't know how long, 4-ish years ago when I first kind of, well, you know, I was working from home as a freelancer before I started my agency. My agency was almost really like running having my own job, in that it was 9 to 6 at an office I commuted to. So it was funny. I started this company, but it was really like starting a job for myself. But before and after that, I really struggled with like, hey, it's Friday at 9 a.m. I should probably be in front of my computer, right? Like I should be working. And it's taken a long time for me to shift. Like case in point, now it's summertime, kids are out of school, we have a season pass for the water park, and you know, we're always thinking like, naturally, yeah, we'll go on Saturday, that's when you do stuff like that, right? When I'm not working, you do it. And I'm like, well, or we could go on Tuesday when it's empty, no lines, and while everyone else is working, they're not, you know what I mean? So yep. It's been hard, I think, for myself, I've gotten there, but it took a long time for me to kind of get away from the, well, it's, if it's any time between 9 a.m. or earlier, or even after 5 p.m. or whatever, like I should, you know, I'm
Monday through Friday.
I should be there. Yeah. Right. And it's an old habit that's taken a long time to really break.
It doesn't, I haven't broken it yet. What I have is a really strong wife. I'm really blessed by her that she's like, all right. Like, for example, where we're living right now, one of the things to do is to float down the river on an inner tube. And it seems all redneck and lazy, but it's something we want to give the kids the experience of. But you don't go on a Saturday because the entire river is tubes. You go on a, like you said, like on a Tuesday when it's perfect weather and all this. And so and it's empty on the river, nice and peaceful. So what she's doing is she's just saying, all right, on this day, this week, that's what we're going to go do. And she puts it in my calendar so I can't schedule any meetings. And we work around that, because if I take a Thursday off, I don't work on a Saturday unless I'm pressured or whatever. So I end up working less, and it's okay. Guess what? My business survives and grows because I've set it up systems so that I'm not a slave to it, but my mentality is wrong. And so my wife essentially helps me to say, okay, you're unplugging this day, you're taking this day off. And I do, and I feel great. We have a ton of fun, and we get to experience whatever the cultural thing is wherever we're living.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. So last summer, that Airbnb I mentioned with the AOL dial-up, there was no cell phone reception, which is why I couldn't tether or anything like that. We went for a week. We had this cabin in the woods, no reception. We had to drive 30 minutes to go to town to get reception plus internet. But here's the thing. Like, I was freaked out going into it. I was paranoid that the world's going to blow up. You know, everything's going to go wrong. I need to check my email every day. I need to be on top of that all the time. And it was this incredible thing. Like, we finish up that vacation and no one's blowing up. All right. The business is working fine. Things are going well. I mean, I think a lot of this has to do with the systems that I had set up to facilitate that. But I think a lot of us kind of put a little too much importance on this whole like always available thing and don't really realize that, look, you know, if like that time, you know, when I'm old and gray and dying on my deathbed, I'm going to be thinking about, or I'm probably going to be thinking more about that weekend in the woods or week in the woods rather than, you know, no offense, but this podcast recording or, whatever else, you know what I mean? Like
one of the things that hits for me is my clients actually follow our personal travel blog. And so they are more than understanding when it's like, hey, guess what? Things just kind of blew up. We're all sick. I can't have this call. It's blurring the lines between business and personal, but people are inspired by what we do. So they're actually totally engaged with it. And it's fun. One of my clients, he gets on the call every week with me and he says, all right, where are you?
where in the world is Paul?
Yeah. And, internet sounds great. Yeah. I'm hearing you fine. So you got to be in the Western culture. But we have a lot of fun with it. And so I think it can be done. It's just a matter of whether or not it's something that you want to do.
So in closing, tell me more about Nomad Together. And you mentioned that a guide at the beginning of the call. Tell me about both.
Well, what we did is back in December, it kind of hit us that we've found people who are doing this. And when we started doing this, there was no resources out there. There were no like families. And I reached out to Dan and Ian back in the day from Tropical MBA and said, hey, do you know of anybody who's a family, who's a member of the DC? And I was a member of the DC at the time, but there was only one that they knew of, only one that was traveling. There have since been more, and I've helped bubble them up to the surface, but I think there's about a dozen of us in the DC who are families. But what we're doing is we just kind of said, whoa, there's like no place for people to talk about kids and traveling and what to do when your spouse is working all the day and you're in a foreign country. And well, I don't know, so we put together Nomad Together, which is a community site for folks who want to do this or who are doing it. We have a dozen families on there who are doing it or have done it. And by it, meaning traveling, living location independent for multiple months at a time with kids, or just as couples, because in our world, family means a couple or those with kids. And then part of this process is realizing that a lot of people are attracted to the idea, but they don't know where to start, or they have a lot of fears and concerns. And so we've been coalescing all this into, and I found out that they basically fall into 8 categories. And so this week, I hope to, so by the time this podcast goes up, you'll be able to get the guide of how to take the leap. What's the framework? Usually it takes 6 to 12 months of planning, depending on how far you are in each one of these 8 steps. But we basically are putting together a guide to help families make the leap. And then the community of Nomad Together is there to support you in any questions or thoughts. Or guess what? This is really what happened. In the Philippines, we landed, we were there for a couple of weeks, and I was complaining of the humidity and the heat. It was just oppressive. We found out our kids suffer from heat exhaustion, and so I was complaining about it on Facebook, and my friends were like spitting venom at me saying, are you crazy? You chose this lifestyle. Don't complain about it. You're on the beach in the Philippines. And it's like, whoa, 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 you're in tropical paradise. And it was at that moment when my eyes were opened up and I realized I may have chosen this lifestyle, but I can't talk about the negatives to people who long for what I have or who are pissed because I'm not living in, you know, the Midwest. And so that's what Nomad Together is there for, folks to talk about logistics, to talk about, you know, struggles that they're having and like, hey, we really don't want to be here anymore, but you know, our flight doesn't leave for 3 months. What
yeah.
do we do?
Yeah. And it's with people who can relate. I mean, it's with, exactly. And that's invaluable. It's kind of like, you know, as you know, being in the homeschool community, they have homeschooling groups that are, you know, groups of other people who homeschool, who don't think you're insane for not doing the usual thing. Or, you know, case in point, I was in a group like this when running my business, because I couldn't exactly talk about cash flow concerns to my employees.
Exactly. Yep. So, you know, we run masterminds and that sort of thing just to help folks wherever they are in the journey. And I did want to say one other thing about homeschooling. Just because I homeschool, don't envision that you have to homeschool to live this lifestyle. There are 4 or 5 different options when it comes to schooling in order to live this lifestyle. And that's part of the guide of like, what do I do about kids and socializing? You know, education and socializing for the kids. That's one of the main categories or the objections to this lifestyle that we walk through in the guide. And just, you know, this might be something that you would use for your spouse to say, hey, honey, I really want to do this. Or it might be something for you and your spouse to sit down with and say, okay, have we addressed each one of these 8 issues and how are we going to address them?
Yeah. So I definitely want to check out the guide. Even if it's, I mean, I would, to be honest, I can't see making the full leap anytime soon, but I think it would be nice to be able to say, you know what, that cabin in the woods, let's do that for a month or 2 months. Mm-hmm. And, so where can we find both the guide and Nomad Together and everything else?
They're both at nomadtogether.com.
Okay. So nomadtogether.com.
Yep. When you go there, it'll say, hey, want to become location independent? Click on that and it'll take you to the guide. And the other option is if you're already location independent, click on that and it'll take you to the community.
Okay, cool. Well, Paul, I just want to thank you again for coming on. Again, this is something that's fascinated me. I can't say I'm a, it's one of those things where I would love to try. I don't know. I've had a lot of excuses, I guess, where that have kept me. So I'm really happy that we had this chat. And I should have asked this at the beginning, but where are you in the world right now?
We are staying. I'm actually in the house I used to own. We sold it to my brother-in-law, and so we're camped outside of his house for a couple of weeks as we finish the remodel project on our RV, and then we'll head for Georgia from here. So
you're in Michigan now.
We're in Michigan. Okay. Michigan. Yep.
Cool. Well. Thank you again. And I really look forward to the guide. I really just want to check it out. And I love seeing, I don't know if you follow Derek Sivers, but he put together these guides on like every country in Asia, like everything you need to know about society, culture, you know, it's. So I love things like this. So,
yep. Cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Paul. I do want to share also one new thing that I've pushed up to doubleyourfreelancing.com. If you go to doubleyourfreelancing.com, click on courses. There's a brand new 1 hour long kind of like webinar training video that I put together. A lot of people who've gone through my email course have asked me questions about how do you actually like, you know, I get the theory, but can you show me examples of how you've Socratically questioned your clients or how you figured out the value of a project and so on. So I put together this training webinar where I run through exactly email conversations I've had, proposals as I've sent out and everything, and really tie it together with a lot of the themes I've talked about both on this podcast and especially on doubleyourfreelancing.com. So if you go over there, click on courses, it's only $9 and it's an hour long. It's probably, hopefully, the best $9 you'll ever spend. So give it a look, give it a watch if you haven't seen it yet. All right, so we'll be back again next week for another exciting episode of the Business of Freelancing podcast.